Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team with 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, what's going on? First off, thanks for taking time to join us. Congratulations on your retirement. One of the best to ever do it, and really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here on the show.
No, thank you, Robbie and Joe. Thanks for having me on. I retired from the Houston Chronicle, but not the radio. I still do 10 shows in 6 cities. Love talking about sports, as I know you guys do too, and I'll probably pick up a little freelance, including from the Chronicle. I told them they use a couple of guys who retired after a long time, 10 years with the Chronicle. They still do some freelance around town when the paper needs them. And I told them if they need me, I'm available. So I think they said they could use me during the draft. So I said that would be great because the draft is my favorite time of the off season.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And the more we can hear you, the better off we're all going to be, John. So appreciate you taking time for joining us here on the show. I'm interested from your perspective now that the Deshaun Watson situation is behind the Houston Texans. Where do the Texans go from here? Do they view Davis Mills as potentially an answer as their long-term guy? What do you think of the Texans and where they kind of go from here now that Deshaun Watson is behind them?
Let me tell you, I'm so glad Watson's gone and he's Cleveland's problem, because for almost 15 months we dealt with that story on almost a daily basis. If I had a dollar for every talk show I'd done to talk about Watson – or TV show or podcast during that period, I could have retired sooner. And people in Cleveland don't know how to handle the situation. You got the 22 civil lawsuits accusing him of sexual misconduct, assault, and harassment. But you have a great young quarterback who wants to play. But I don't have to worry, although, of course, it's still news in Houston no matter what he does. Texans are committed to Davis Mills. Davis Mills over the last 5 games last season was better than any rookie quarterback, including Mac Jones. One of the last columns I wrote was comparing Jones and Mills down the stretch, all of their stats. And Mills, with the worst running game in the league and the second worst defense, was better than Jones, who had a top running game and a top defense with him. And so they're not saying they're committed to him long-term. They're not even saying they're committed to him next year, although I know they are, because I think they're open with the third pick. Somebody like, say, Carolina might get scared that someone else is going to trade up in desperation for Malik Willis and get a couple extra picks out of it. They got 11 picks right now. When Nick Caserio, the GM, makes some trades, other than moving up, I could see him making deals for the 2023 draft, because they know they're in phase 2 of their rebuild. And Mills, you know, the when they beat the Titans in Nashville, that was more of a case. Ryan Tannehill had the worst game of his career. And then Tyrod Taylor was a quarterback then. He didn't play worth a darn. But at the end of the year, when the Titans had to win to get home field advantage and they escaped by 3, you know, Mills played well. So he had 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he completed 69% for a rating of 104 down the stretch. So they like him. If he doesn't make the kind of improvement they hope, then they'll be back in the quarterback market next year when that draft is supposed to be outstanding for quarterbacks instead of this one, which is mediocre.
So, John, I know you've done a lot of reminiscing here, both in writing and doing all these shows you do. But I got to ask you one more. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize in advance. The story that that will stand out to you in, and I believe I'm 47 years at the Houston Chronicle, 51 years as a sports writer. The one story of all that time that you will stand out, whether it's your favorite story or the toughest story, or just what comes to mind when I ask that question?
Oh, there's so many, and I've been asked, and I wrote a column Sunday for the Chronicle on our website, TexasSportsNation.com. It's behind our paywall, and I've been telling people on my talk shows, if you want to read my 10 greatest most memorable experiences. Feel free, my new email is john.mclain, NFL, at gmail.com. I'll be happy to send it to them where it's not behind the payroll, at paywall. And I'll tell you one when I was in the Waco paper and then one at the Chronicle. When in Waco, I was working for the Waco Tribune Era, legendary sports editor, Dave Campbell, founder of Texas Football Magazine. I learned from him, grew up reading him, and I got hired there going into my junior year at Baylor in June of 1972. And Baylor had not beaten Texas in 20 years, had not won the Southwest Conference in 50 years. And in 1974, they played the Longhorns. Earl Campbell was a freshman and one of the most highly touted freshmen in the country. And they played at Baylor Stadium, and I was writing a Texas dressing room story. And I was still on my junior year at Baylor because I was working full-time, and Baylor was down 24-6 at halftime. And I walked to the back of the press box, and I saw so many fans leaving. I told Dave Campbell, worst thing about being a sports writer is you can't go home when you know your team is lost. And he said, young man, he said, you know, miracles do happen, so I wouldn't count the Bears out yet. And I said, well, I have. And Baylor came back and won that game. It's called the Miracle on the Brazos. And it was such a big deal. They left the scoreboard on all night, and the president of the university and the vice president slept in the press box. And it was this, it was in November, so it was foggy, and the scoreboard was shrouded in fog. And all night, fans just drove around the stadium looking up the scoreboard. And when I got home, my dad, who is the reason I love football, he'd watched Baylor since the 30s, he asked me, watching all the people go around the scoreboard, could we drive out and go around at one time? And I said, sure. This is like 10, 15. So we got in the car, he and my mom and my brother and I, we drove out there, huge traffic line. Get in line. You just putzing along, but you didn't care. It was such a big deal. And I went around it once. He said, can we do it again? I was so tired and ended up driving around that damn stadium till like 3 in the morning. So finally, I heard my dad snoring, and we went home. And after one more win over Rice, Baylor won first Southwest Conference title in 50 years. So that was the one that stood out in Waco. And one I wrote about Sunday in my column was, of all the great memories I've had, I spent time with Bill Veeck at Comiskey Park in Chicago telling me about John Dillinger and Al Capone when his dad owned the Cubs. I spent a day with George Halas in his office with him telling me about Babe Ruth replacing him in right field for the Yankees and how what it was like the founding of the NFL when he was there with Jim Thorpe and others. And so I had so many wonderful memories, and I love history. You know, and people say my worst one, I say Buffalo, the biggest choke job in history, 35-3 after the 1992 season when the Oilers blew that game to the Bills, lost 41-38 in overtime, and vindication with the Music City Miracle to a lot of people in Houston. And people in Nashville didn't have to suffer through that Buffalo choke job. But the one that stood out the most, in 1998, I noticed when the great Packers receiver Don Hutson died, that the last surviving member of the original class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1963 was Sammy Baugh, Slinging Sammy Baugh, quarterback for the Redskins, great baseball player in the Cardinals minor league system, just a tremendous personality who was famous for cussing like crazy. He had a TV show called Texas Rangers, and he lived on a ranch out in West Texas, and so I thought, man, I'd like to get an interview with him. And I had a friend here who told me one time he played dominoes with Sammy Baugh, and Baugh loved to play. So I called him. I said, Bill, if the Chronicle pays your way, can you line up an interview with Sammy, and let's go out there. So we did. We went to Lubbock. We drove to his ranch, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and he lived in the same little house that he'd lived in since the late 30s, and he was by himself. And as soon as we got in there, he was cussing like a storm. And the Chronicle let me, with a disclaimer, that some of the language in here is not, you know, fit for newspaper, but they said if it didn't do it, it wouldn't capture the essence of Sammy Baugh. So we spent the night. I recorded 5 or 6 hours of tape, and the next day before we left, I asked him what was his favorite trophy in his trophy case, and he reached into the back. He pulled out a sheet of paper, blew dust off of it, held it up, and it was his only hole-in-one. He was 85, and he drove to Sweetwater, 30 minutes away, 5 days a week to play golf, and he didn't play on weekends because he watched golf. So we watched some golf with him, and he was such a character, telling me stories about when he was in the Cardinals minor league system. He was there with guys who would go on to be known as the Gas House Gang. And people don't know what that is, Google it. And it was all the great Gas House Gangers. And when they won championships with the Redskins, the owner would make them barnstorm across the South and play a game every few days so the owner could make more money. But when he was, I thought the best story he told me was playing minor league baseball for the Cardinals. There was a player on another minor league team that infuriated opponents. He was a right fielder. He was 17. And he said this kid would turn his back to the hitter when he was, when his pitcher was pitching, to defy us to hit the ball out there. He'd do jumping jacks when we're trying to swing. He would sit. He would put his glove in his back pocket. And he said, I told the manager, how in the world do you let that sumbitch act like that when every one of us wants to beat the hell out of that bleeper? And he said, because the guys at the big league club tell me he's going to make them a lot of money someday. And he said, I understood it because when I was playing shortstop, he would hit a ball so hard I could hear the plank coming out of the fence before I could turn and see it. And he hit home runs you could hang clothes on. And so I said, that guy ever become anything? He said, well, you tell me. His name was Ted Williams. And I thought, wow, I'd never heard stuff like that. And as we left, we're out on his porch, and he got his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the road. And I'm on his porch with him, and I said, Sam, he always signed things Sam Ball because he tried to sign everything that was sent. People from all over the country would send balls and shirts and paper to the post office, said Sammy, Slinging Sammy Ball, Rotan, Texas, nothing else. So they knew where he was, and they'd bring it. And once every 2 weeks, his daughter-in-law would line up tables, and he'd go down and sign everything Sam Ball, because he said, I can sign twice as much not signing Slinging Sammy Ball. So we're on the porch, and I said, why do you live out here in the middle of nowhere? Instead of living in Fort Worth, where he went to school at TCU or Sweetwater, so you don't have to drive this road to play golf. He said, you know what? He tugged at his pants and he said, because, and I had to change a word here, anytime I got to take a leak, he said, I can come right out here on my porch and I can pee anywhere, anytime. And he said, matter of fact, I got over there going right now. Want to join me? And I did. And I'm pretty sure nobody in the media who knew Sammy Barr covered him had ever been to his ranch on Rotan, Texas, taking a pee off his porch with him, except me.
Just incredible. John McClain from on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, last thing for you here. Obviously, you're very familiar with the Titans and this team becoming perennially a playoff contender. They're talking about building a new stadium here. I'm just curious, from your perspective, the job that Amy Adams Strunk has done since kind of taking control of things here in Nashville.
I remember when Amy got control of the team, she was very nervous about, you know, being in the spotlight. She'd always been in the background here. She lived on a ranch outside Houston in another little town, and she was a horsewoman. And I think the only time she'd ever been interviewed was for, like, Horseman magazines. And I remember telling her, people in Nashville are going to love you. You know, you ride horses. I said, got a great personality. Just let them get to know you. And I was there covering a game when she did her first interview in the press box, and I could tell how nervous she was. And now she just has just been like a cocoon and a butterfly as an owner. And she's beloved, respected, and I can't tell you how much I respect the job she's done, the way she's handled it. You know, I knew when they played in Kansas City in, 10-degree weather, a few years ago in the playoffs, and she went out in the parking lot, was hanging out with fans. And then when she was in London hanging out with the fans, that people would love Amy Adams Strunk. And I'll say this, she was so smart to get Mike Vrabel and John Robinson signed to extensions, because they're a great duo. And I think they will always be contending for the AFC South title and a Super Bowl as long as they're there. And I think she's done a fabulous job, and I don't know anybody up there that's told me she hadn't. And I look forward to spending more time up there and coming to some Titans games since I'm not writing for the Chronicle anymore. And I think, again, I'll pick the Titans to win the division. Last year I picked them to get home field advantage, and they did. But I also picked them, I think, to go to the Super Bowl. So with Derrick Henry back and with they keep those guys healthy, you guys know they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And all this stuff about Matt Ryan and the Colts, look at what Matt Ryan did last season. I don't automatically think they're going to win the division like some people think they are. So I think the Titans are in great shape again. Fans ought to be pumped. And I'll say this about that stadium. You better build it, because if somebody went through it here, I wrote about this Sunday, Bud Adams only wanted $180 million in public money. And Houston turned his back on him, and it was good for Nashville, and it was good for Houston because of the Texans, and it's good for me because Nashville is my home away from home. But, you know, that stadium is run down, and I saw the plans where it'd be better to build a new stadium next door instead of try to renovate it, and I think it's a good time to get that done because the Titans are good. It was their misfortune here to go from 12-4 to 2-14 when they were trying to get public money, and that's not the time to do it. So I hope it all works out, and I believe it will. Great football town. I can't believe how many, every time I come there, there's so many cranes. I can't keep up with all the building going on. So guys, thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking time to come on with us. Congratulations on a great career, and looking forward to hearing a whole lot more from you.
Guys, thank you very much, and have a great rest of the week.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. The legendary John McClain, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with other athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. By the way, Chase McCabe announcing the other day Kevin Byard from the Titans going to be a part of that. So if you want to be a part of it, hit up thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Liam on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says that was an awesome interview. John McClain, the best, just an absolute legend.
Yeah, I mean, if I could just basically turn the show over to him every day, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? And then here's John McClain. Just keep talking. Talk for 4 hours, please.
Yeah.
He's the best. I had no idea where that Sammy Boss story was going. I was like, this could go a lot of different ways. But John McClain understands FCC regulations. And
he cleaned it up.
Apparently he and Sammy Bob made him a PBJ, and then they took a whiz together off the porch. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Thomas in Nashville texting and says, good morning, guys. Great segment with John McClain. He is truly a legend, and I love to hear all of his stories. Thanks for that, guys. Trust me, we enjoyed it just as much as you did. That was awesome.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who – Like he was saying. I mean, so and Dave Campbell, like for people who don't know, Dave Campbell is like one of the all-time journalism football legends. I mean, you know, in Texas, he is like he's like a hero. I mean, he basically created covering football in Texas. But the fact that he was his sports editor at the Waco paper, first of all, is just amazing. And you think about when he started covering the Oilers, you know, late 70s, Earl Campbell, Dan Passerini, Bum Phillips, all that stuff. I've been lucky enough to just shooting the breeze with John McClain and press boxes, hearing just all these Bud Adams stories that are just fantastic. But you're talking about a guy who's got as much institutional knowledge on the NFL as anyone on the planet.
Yep. Well, and a guy that is so familiar with this franchise here in Nashville with the Titans, obviously from his time in Houston, but he's been around here for a long time too, and obviously knows the Adams family really well. And I thought his perspective there on A.B. Adams Strunk was pretty great, because very few people know A.B. Adams Strunk as well as John McClain does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I think thinking back to like Amy Adams Strunk's early days to now. I think that's a, you know, that, you know, certainly there's been a, I guess, a gain in confidence just publicly. But I mean, I remember this is not something you'd always, it depends on the owner. Jerry Jones will talk for an hour after every game and like, hey guys, you want to interview me more?
Yeah.
But a lot of owners are tough to get. I mean, you know, I grabbed Amy Adams Strunk after a win at Kansas City when it was like, that was the negative two. Now, that was the super cold game, not the playoff game.
Or suck-up kick like the frozen
football. Or suck-up kick to puck, yeah. And, you know, she was great. You know, talking a lot about Mike Mularkey at that time. But anyway, she's been obviously really good. It's interesting, you know, to, I think back on Vrabel's first year. That's one of the things that really hit me after they beat the Texans when they had no business doing it with no tackles, with no quarterback. With no, I forget all what they were missing.
Was that the Kevin Byard touchdown pass?
That was
the
Kevin Byard throwing to Dane Cruikshank fake punt. But John McClain, again, this is, you take this with a lot of weight because you're talking about a guy who's been covering the NFL since the 70s. Like, I think that's the best coach game I've ever seen. Like,
that,
okay, when John
something.
McClain says that, okay. That probably means something.
I would say so. Just incredible. If you missed the John McClain interview, you can check it out on our podcast section, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And at thegamenashville.com as well.
And to your point during the break, I do very much hope, even though he's not still writing for the Chronicle, so he's not going to be going to all the Texans games, I do hope he sits there with sarcastic tweets about the Texans when they stink it up all day. You just follow him
solely. One of the
best
parts of an NFL Sunday for the past, since the Texans came in the league, has been John McClain just eviscerating them on Twitter in real time as the game goes on. It's amazing. Love it.
It's great. Now, granted, I think they came in before Twitter existed.
Well, they
what
did
we? What did the world do before that? What, like, where was his outlet then? You know, he just had to complain to people in the press box. Now he's got an outlet.
Now he's got an outlet. That is true.
See, there are positives of social media.
They did come in barely before Twitter.
What's that?
They did come in barely before Twitter. What were they? 02 or 03? Twitter was 08. So just barely.
Yeah, but I mean, who? But people weren't really on Twitter till
10, 11.
Yeah, 10. 10 was pretty prevalent. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot of years still. It's had to call the Hall & Oates helpline and scream about the Texans to them.
That's right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on the Ottawa Senators coming up later tonight. Golf's first major is a tradition unlike any other. It's getting started, and now you can bet on who you think will go home with the green jacket on FanDuel Sportsbook at Augusta. Right now, new customers can get 30-1 odds on Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or Dustin Johnson to make the cut at Augusta. That's right. If any of those players make the cut, you'll win big. Lots of people all over Tiger Woods right now. He's set to tee off this morning at just after 10 o'clock. I like Dustin Johnson to win this weekend in Augusta, but you take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook, and take a swing at betting the first major. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or Dustin Johnson to make the cut at Augusta. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Looking forward to that conversation with him. The Preds in Ottawa tonight, taking on the Senators. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's a big one for the Predators tonight. They're all big coming down the stretch. The schedule, especially the strength of schedule, doesn't get a whole lot easier for the Predators as they go through the next few weeks here. You do have Ottawa left on the schedule that's not a playoff team. San Jose, Chicago, and really, that's about it till you get to Arizona, the last game of the season. So going to be a tough schedule. Got to take advantage of these points tonight. And if the Predators were taking the Senators lightly last week, I would be surprised if that's the case this time, based on the way the game went last time out.
Yeah. You would think not. They just saw him. They were pretty good against him. They had to fight to beat him. So we'll see what kind of energy's in the building. A lot of energy in Buffalo last time they were out on the road against a team they should have beaten.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds Radio analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How we doing?
Just taking in the beautiful sights of Kanata outside of Ottawa.
Oh, yeah. We know how that is.
Beautiful rainy spring day here.
That's right. So, Hal, what do you make of the last time out for the Predators? The power play was exceptional in that game, and they made some lineup changes as well. Overall, what did you think of the Predators' response on Tuesday in the Minnesota game to an ugly game in Buffalo the time out before?
Yeah, they needed that, didn't they? I mean, that was a game at home. Get the crowd into it with a couple fights. You knew it was going to be a heavy game all the way through. They just showed up to play. And in the power play, man, you take so much confidence from that when you can play a 5-on-5 game, keep it simple. You don't have to force anything and just wait for your chances on the power play and then capitalize the way they did. They were snapping it around, using all the different options. It looked good. That's how you win games this time of year. You battle and play a stingy, hard game and take advantage of the chances when you get them.
It would take a good run here and a little bit of faltering from St. Louis, but it is possible, Hal, that the Preds could match up with Minnesota in the first round. Based on results this year, it has gone well for the Preds against Minnesota. Is this a good matchup for the Preds?
Yeah, well, it seems to be. This year they played them really well. I think they rise up to the challenge of playing against better teams. And Minnesota made a couple moves that kind of strengthened their chances. They got some toughness with Delorier. They got Middleton, a tough D, and then Tyson Jost. They have some good additions at the trade deadline. Of course, Marc-Andre Fleury, so their goaltending is solid. But, I feel like the Preds can match up against anyone. That's the fun part about this team. The real challenge is, they just have to get there so they can match up against these guys, and they're going to have to win games like games against Ottawa, the teams that aren't in the playoffs. They've struggled against those teams, so they need to go out and make sure they're taking care of business so that they can give themselves a chance to match up against teams that are tough that they can beat.
Hal, what did you think of Fabro getting back in the lineup, and how important is it in your mind to get him back in the fold at this point in the season?
Yeah, huge to get him and Borowiecki as well. Yep. But, Fabro needs to get back. And he talked about in the post-game show where he was, he's going through, he's got to get back into a game. And that's a heavy game to get into. We're not messing around. He jumped out there and, he's got to get his feet under him. And he admitted it's like, it took him a second to get into it. But once he started getting going, he looked good. I think he's going to be a big part of the success of this team. Him and Carrier on that right side are going to be huge. So you need those guys back in the lineup, and not just back in the lineup in time for the playoffs, but getting into game shape so that they're ready for the playoffs.
Hal, we were talking earlier with Dan Hynote about, Duchesne, Forsberg, and sort of the coaching thought process. They've been so good together. Obviously, they're going to be together still on the power play, but there's also a real benefit to trying to balance your lines a little bit more, especially with the playoffs approaching. What did you think about how that looked and how that might work moving forward?
Well, I really liked it last game, putting Tomasino up and moving Duchesne with Gronlund. That kind of diversifies your funds, right? You're putting Duchesne, and hopefully he can kickstart that second line, because you need that secondary scoring. But also, it gives Tomasino a chance to thrive, and he did. He stepped up. He had a good game and put some points up, and so you're adding a skilled player onto the first line and making your second line better. And, of course, we saw how good they are in the power play. It's always there as an option. That's the other thing. You have lines that you go with, but if you want to load up for a shift, you can put out Duchesne and Forsberg. And we've seen that with other teams. The Penguins do that all the time, where they put you know, Crosby and Malkin together. Draisaitl and McDavid always come on after a power play or a penalty kill. They come on together and they play on a line together. So you can mix it up, but I just like the way that they've created a need for secondary scoring, and I think Duchene moving with Gromlin and Cunning is a big deal.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hal, going on the Tomasino front here, you know, we were talking with Dan Hynote earlier about, you know, how most rookies at some point hit a wall, and it kind of feels like to me Tomasino is getting better as the year goes on. Do you agree with that, and how rare is that in this league to be able in your first full season to continue to progress as the season goes on and not wear down?
Yeah, well, it's certainly not easy. It's a long schedule. It's a hard schedule. You're playing against bigger bodies and some angry players. So it's tough to go through that. A lot of travel that you're not used to. So younger players kind of sputter. But I think in his case, you know, he's not playing that hard game where he's heavy on the forecheck, banging guys, or he's not playing the defensive role where he's getting hit a lot. But he's got to go up and keep up with the pace. And I think that's the challenge for him. But I think what makes him different is the fact that he sees the ice really well. You know, he's got great hands. And the more he plays, the more he gets more comfortable with the timing and the spacing. And he can make plays out there. And I think that is only getting better every time he jumps on the ice. So I think the upside of having him play a lot gives him, you know, more confidence, and it kind of negates that fatigue factor.
As he gets, you know, a little bit bigger and stronger moving forward, what will that mean to his game?
Well, it's huge. Well, it's funny. We were just talking about Phil Forsberg. When Philip came, just a young kid, 18 years old, just coming over and joining the Preds, and I'm like, oh, look at this skinny little guy, and he was strong on his skates. But, you know, you look at him now, he's tough to get off. He has that reverse check that he's added the strength to his game. And I think that just comes with time, you know. You slowly start to develop not just the, you know, the being in the gym, but also that core strength and the man strength that you get from being around and learning where you can put your weight and where you can distribute it when you're in the corner. So I think it's takes time, and sometimes for some guys it's a little bit longer, but I think Tomasino, you're going to see that change his game dramatically. He's going to, as he gets older, add more and more power to his game.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, you know what? I need a Dunks right now, to be honest with you. I wish I was in Nashville. Another next-gen location at 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. Of course, I'm over by Harding Pike, and I'm always stopping in because they got the best treats you'll ever ask for. Of course, the donuts, the munchkins, but sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, chicken biscuits are phenomenal. The omelet bites are fantastic. There's so many options, but of course, I'm always looking for my Dunkin' Midnight. I love the Dunks coffee, so I'm looking forward to that. As soon as I get home, I'm stopping in. But go treat yourself today. Go get your Dunks.
Hal, happy belated birthday, my friend. Appreciate you joining us on the program.
Hey, thank you very much.
That was yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Did the bag get chucked extra hard or what?
It sure did.
Skillsy, we love you.
The only problem is there's not much to do in Ottawa, so you know you can't get in too much trouble.
That is true. Yeah. Skillsy,
good.
Appreciate you, brother. Have fun tonight.
Thanks, all right. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Hal Gill joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30 here on the program.
We could just get Hal with Sammy Baugh and John McClain on a porch with some PBJs, you know?
Or with Traylon Burks out there hunting hogs.
Oh, man. Put it all together.
That's right. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We're streaming live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Hal Gill for joining us in the last segment. Big one for the Preds tonight. I would assume probably the same lineup. Not messing with much after a 6-2 win, I wouldn't think. So that would mean a second consecutive game where Ellie Tolvanen is scratched, if that's the case. We heard Dan Hynote address it earlier in the show. Thinks that maybe in the long run this could be a good thing. This whole season could be a good thing for Ellie Tolvanen. What are you, Joe Rex Rhodes, what's your concern level from Ellie Tolvanen at this point?
I mean, it's not non-existent, for sure. But 22 years old, there have been gains, not the most important thing that he does. And the most important thing that he does has gone the wrong way. But there have been gains from Tolvanen this year. So it's there. It's I guess it's above sea level, you know. But I'm very interested to see when he gets back in there, what that means. I do think you said earlier on the show, confidence is such a fickle thing and is such an important thing in sports. I just don't know why. Is there a physical reason, or am I just are my eyes deceiving me? That's possible. But the shot does not look like the death laser that it used to be.
People, big fan of you calling it the death laser, by the way.
Yeah. It's like the tractor beam from Star Wars.
Yes.
Used to be. Now it's like laser tag.
Now it's like a stormtrooper shot.
Yeah, there you go. Target. They just keep somehow missing.
Yes.
Han Solo and Princess Leia, they just keep missing them.
Just, and Han Solo's dead eye out there. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole, but I like it. Yeah, I mean, this is a big stretch for them. I mean, I'm interested to see as they continue to move along here, and assuming they leave Duchesne and Forsberg separated, can they generate 5-on-5? That's my question. Like, obviously, they're going to be together on the power play, and we know that. The power play has been productive all season long. It's been just a huge weapon for this team. If you're going to split them up, can they produce 5-on-5? I mean, I know that Duchesne scored a goal the other night, 5-on-5. I mean, the pass came from Forsberg at the end of a shift, and it was 1-on-4, basically. But can they be productive? Can Granlund's production tick back up? Can you somehow get Cunning going if that's who's going to be on that line with you? You know, can Tomasino handle the big minutes he's about to get with Forsberg and Johansson? I got a lot of questions about what they've done here. I think it has the potential. I mean, if it works, I think it's great because it is in the playoffs. You want to have as many different threats on different lines as you possibly can. But you also, like, if it doesn't work, you're going to have to put Forsberg and Duchesne back together because at the end of the day, shutdown line or not, that may be the best chance you've got to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see them together some. And, you know, like, obviously if you're chasing a game in the third period, you yep. load them, stuff like that. But, yeah, if this works, it'd be great. We don't even mention the herd line. They're just a given, and they're going to be a threat too. They're going to produce in the playoffs. They can. They should. You know, so if you actually have three lines working there, you can roll. I mean, that's a big deal. So what are you laughing about?
Taylor from Brentwood on the text line says, Joe, the tractor beam is what pulls ships in, not what shoots the laser. So you're saying Tolvanen's shot sucks. It's coming from Taylor from Brentwood on the text line.
Fair point.
Maybe the Death Star?
Fair point.
Is that what you're going for?
Well, I was thinking the tractor beam, but you're right. That drew in the Millennium Falcon.
Spoiler alert.
Let's just go with Death Laser. Yeah, sorry. I mean, we didn't tell you what happened in
That's true.
The entire movie, if you're listening, Ryan Porth. Hey, real quick, I do want to. Devin from Dover asked, is Luke Evangelista someone who could come in late? He's had a monster year. A lot of promise, a lot of excitement, but no. It's not time for Luke Evangelista yet.
I don't think so. I mean, as you look forward, could he be a dark horse candidate that maybe makes it interesting in training camp next year? Yeah, he could be.
Yeah, he will be a commonly spoken name in training camp next year.
He's got 53 goals and 105 points in 59 games this year down in the OHL. I mean, it's pretty clear he's grown out of the OHL.
And the history of people who do that at that level is pretty good.
It's pretty long.
It's pretty promising for what he's going to be eventually.
Yeah. You can feel good about that as you move forward. Ryan in Nashville texting in. I think the reason Tolvanen's shot isn't a laser beam anymore is because he's working more on his accuracy than his power. Maybe. I mean, maybe aiming a little too much, but at some point, just let it loose, dude.
Well, when I said death laser, I'm also talking accuracy. I mean, he's picking those little spots last year.
Yep.
Confidence, it's all part of it, but I feel like he's had some opportunities this year where I was like, that just doesn't look the same. But again, I could be a little off.
Well, and I thought John Hines, his comments after the game Tuesday were interesting, and you know, he's still doing a lot of good things. You can't necessarily punish a guy for not putting up points, but when they're not generating chances, then you can start to make some moves, and that's basically his way of telling you without telling you, yeah, Tolvanen's not generating any chances right now, and I don't think he has been really for a long time. Like, very few times in the last few weeks have I left a game thinking, ooh, Tolvanen was buzzing out there tonight, just got robbed. Like, he's largely been invisible. And that's not, like, I think Cunning's largely been invisible too. So I'm not trying to excuse Luke Cunning. I think he's got to be way better. He took 3 minor penalties last game. Like, it's not been a good year from Luke Cunning. But those two, it's hard to have everybody going at the same time. But it does kind of feel like in their roles right now with that forward group, everybody's pretty much going except those two. And you think about what a difference it could make if they started going.
And neither,
like, people keep talking about Nick Cousins. Like, Nick Cousins is a fourth-line player. I don't even know what you expect.
And he's a nice – I think he fits there well.
Yeah.
So, considering that neither of these guys is likely to end up there, it's probably either or. Would you say that?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right? It's got to be either or.
Would I be surprised tonight if Cunning's the one that's out and Tolvanen comes back in? Probably not. I mean, I thought Cunning was bad last game. So, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But really, it's those two right now. They're not playing like top 6 forwards, and their style, I mean, they're not breaking up that third line, and it doesn't really fit the fourth line. So if you're John Hines, I don't really know what you do with those two right now.
Well, if he swaps Tolvanen in for Cunning, then I guess this is just a tryout for the playoffs.
Maybe.
Which one of you is going to respond?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Adam in Portland says, Tolvanen is like a gallbladder. Pretty sure he's not needed, and the only time I hear about him, it's not exciting. Why isn't he better by now? This is coming from Adam in Portland.
Wow.
Like a gallbladder.
Jeez. That's right. Does the gallbladder have no known function?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I'm sure it does something. I just don't know what it is.
I think Tolvanen has done some things for this team this year. You know, they may not be exciting things.
The gallbladder.
You know. They may not be exciting things, okay, but all the organs. No, I mean, the gallbladder stores and concentrates bile produced in the liver. This is according to JohnsHopkinsMedicine.org.
You don't need it to survive.
And that bile aids in the digestion of fat and release from the gallbladder into the upper small intestine in response to food, especially fats, according to HopkinsMedicine.org. So that's still a thing that your body, I assume, needs,
Dr.
right?
Dr. Rexroad.
I can read off the internet, Rexroad.
You can have your gallbladder removed. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really doesn't affect you.
I guess that's true. Well, you can have a kidney taken out, too, but they're important. As long as you have one kidney, right?
Yes.
I don't know where this is headed except for the end of the show.
I've never heard someone described as a gallbladder before. Thank you, Adam.
It's kind of rough, Adam. It could be worse, I suppose.
It could be. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.